Lecture topic, Embracing the Bitter Decisions of Fate, Part 1.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: قد أفلح من أسلم ورزق كفافا وقنعه الله بما آتاه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters and our listeners, amongst the many promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached with iman and the performance of righteous deeds, one is Allah has promised a blissful life, a meaningful life, and a happy life. The key question is, define a blissful life. What is a blissful life? This is the declaration of the Quran. This is the proclamation of the Quran, that every man who has iman, coupled with the performance of righteous deeds, will be favored, endowed, and inspired with a meaningful life. What is the definition? If we open it to the floor and ask every person, you will have multiple opinions in the definition of a good life. However, the broad, the common understanding of a good life is a healthy life and a wealthy life. This is the by and large description understood and perceived, that if you're a healthy man and you're a wealthy man, you relatively are fortunate and you enjoy a good life. But this definition is flawed on one of two reasons amongst others. Number one, if you look at the alarming rate of suicide in the world, and if you take note, those of us that are living in the Lanesia area and the surroundings, we flooded with gazettes and papers and local media, but very strangely now there is a suicide roundup column as well, which was never heard before, but now you would realize for yourself there's a suicide roundup. So it's becoming not so alienated or strange or uncommon or very rare. It's becoming somehow much more common. I read an article the other day, the second biggest reason of death amongst the youth in India is suicide. The second biggest cause of death in India amongst the youth is because of suicide. Conservatively, it has been documented that approximately 20,000 suicides occur across the globe annually, only as a result of credit card debt, nothing else. Credit card debt results in at least 20,000 suicides in the world. So obviously that makes us understand that the suicide rate is more common amongst wealthy and affluent people than it is amongst those that are living in abject poverty on the Horn of Africa. Now that always obviously makes us understand that being wealthy doesn't necessarily equate happiness, otherwise these wealthy individuals would have not been claiming their lives. Furthermore, and more importantly, the two prerequisites that are mentioned in this ayah, iman and a'mal saliha, these two qualities were found in the galaxy of the prophets and the noble companions, may Allah's peace be upon them all, to the optimum level, to the greatest level. Yet, with the exception of few, by and large, the Sahaba and Anbiya were poor individuals. There were a handful of wealthy people, the likes of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the likes of Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, the likes of Dawood alayhi salam, the likes of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Yes, there were a handful. But the general condition amongst the prophets and that of the Sahaba was poverty. That obviously rules out wealth being a determining factor of a good life in the definition of Sharia. So what is the definition of a good life? The scholars explain two things. I will touch on one and then hopefully inshallah elaborate on the second one. The first thing, and everyone inherently, intrinsically, we aspire and we pine and we yearn and we desire that, you know what, my life can be normal. I mean, if you look at any person's phone today, it's flooded with these SMSs, requests for du'as, make du'a for happiness, for barakah, for understanding, for prosperity. Allah must put an end to this discord, this bickering, this mayhem, this anarchy, this lawlessness, this chaos in our life. There's just no stability and happiness. So it's intrinsic. It's synonymous to our temperament, and that's fine. But I think I want to set the record correctly and understand what defines a good life so that we can understand things in a holistic way. The first thing that defines a good life is that Allah will favor that individual with divine contentment. This is what Allah will give him in his lap. And the hadith that I quoted before you, the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ. Indeed, he was a man of few words but voluminous, comprehensive yet apt. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ. Indeed, he is successful who has embraced the faith. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافَا. And Allah has sustained him not with abundance but with sufficient. I mean, these are deep words. Reflect for a moment. It goes without saying, it's a given that every person aspires for the best for his children. And imagine if your daughter was Fatima radiallahu anha, who is the queen of paradise. Her modesty was of such a caliber that I categorically have read the hadith myself, that on the day of Qiyamah, when she will walk, an announcer will announce, respect the modesty and the bashfulness of the queen of paradise. Drop your gaze and let this modest woman cross. Fatima radiallahu anha, we know the very famous hadith, when somebody came and asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ayyu shay'in khayrun lin nisa. O Nabi of Allah, what's a good gift for women? What's a good gift? Sometimes you walk into a shop, where was it recently? I was somewhere, and then, we were in Plettenberg. And then I walked through, we went to buy something, and as I walked into a shop, the person working there said, I bet you want to buy something for your wife, right? I said, yeah, you're quite correct. Obviously, I guess the type of the things he's selling, he could understand people would only come here to buy a gift or something to take back. Now look at these words. O Nabi of Allah, what's the best gift that can be given to a woman by a father to his daughter, by a brother to his sister, or by a husband to his wife? Nabi Sallam said, why don't ask my daughter Fatima? She'll know better. Go ask her and come. أَيُّ شَيْءٍ خَيْرٌ لِلنِّسَىٰ. What did the queen of paradise answer? She said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah yarayna al-rijal wa la yarawnahunna. The best thing is provide her with a conducive environment that insulates her and fortifies her and protects her against the lustful gazes of evil men. Give her an environment where she can throw out her best in an environment that is suitable, that is conducive, that is viable for her. So Fatima radiallahu anha was a great woman. There are multiple ahadith that speak on the virtue of Fatima. But suffice to say, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam supplicated Allah on behalf of his beloved daughter, he said, Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. O my kind Allah, favor my daughter and her children, my grandchildren, with that which is adequate and sufficient, and it's not above the need line. Allahumma ja'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. I go on to say for you, my brother, go and have more. And I don't have a problem, and that's where we've come to. You know, there was a time, we know, mashallah, Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi's son is here, and we should draw maximum benefit from him. There was a time anyone attended his gathering, and when the discourses of the pious were attended, then there were certain, you know, principles that were put in place. The likes of, don't overeat, don't oversleep, and don't indulge in vain and you know, useless talk. Those were the type of things to rehabilitate, to mold, to govern. Today we say to people, eat as much as you want to, but eat halal. Really, that's what I say to people. Eat as much as you want to, but eat halal. One day I was walking and my kids were with me, and then somebody spoke to them in our traditional language, Gujarati, and, Abu, what is this uncle saying? Right? And he says, but Maulana, you used to speak it as a child. I said, no defense to my child. Today's child, even if he only knows one language, but that language is protected against vulgarity, he has been saved against the test of times. Ideally, be a linguistic. Master the language. I read an article, the IQ of a child who speaks a vernacular language and who speaks the national language is much more advanced than a person who only speaks one language. So that's brilliant. That's great. That's awesome. But we're saying the test of time, if the child of today, if you know, you overhear a discussion of children talking, there isn't a sentence in which there isn't vulgarity. لَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِشًا. Allah's Nabi never used obscene talk, nor did he listen to it. So anyway, coming back to it, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمْ. He is successful who brings iman. وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا. And Allah has sustained him with sufficient. وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَى. And he's more than happy on the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He moves on, his day passes, and he's satisfied. He's not gripped by this greed that has plagued the world. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi is speaking about the level of anxiety. And he said it at that time, and these statements are so much more meaningful today. He said, سَهِرَتْ عُيُونٌ وَنَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ سَهِرَتْ عُيُونٌ وَنَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. Some eyes are sleeping, but they are trembling in their dreams with panic of tomorrow. And others' fear of tomorrow is so real that they are victims of insomnia. Some fell off to sleep. He's a light sleeper. But rest assured, he's having nightmares in that sleep of his. Sahirat uyunun. And some are tossing by night. Insomnia. Pearl upon pearl. وَنَامَتْ عُيُونُ. Why, O Shafi'i? فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. I don't know. Maybe the results are positive. Maybe the cancer has spread. Maybe the competitors flood the market. Maybe the volatility of the currency increases. We don't know which way the political clout will go. We don't know which party will come into power. We don't know who will rule. فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. فَدْرَئِ الْهَمَّ عَنِ النَّفْسِ فَحِمْلَانُكَ الْهُمُومَ جُنُونُ. He says, take a deep breath and sigh and avert all these worries and anxieties. In essence, you have become a vessel of depression, which is tantamount to insanity. فَحِمْلَانُكَ الْهُمُومَ جُنُونُ. At every moment, I mean, am I on top of the situation? Yesterday I was sitting and having dinner and I'm telling my wife, we sat down to eat. The phone rang, I didn't answer. The first call was from Sri Lanka. I ignored it. 2 minutes later, next call came, it was from London. I ignored it. The third minute, a call came from Canada. I ignored it. I said, these things have dictated our lives. Am I going to now involve myself in every discussion here? Or am I going to put this behind me and say, can I have a decent meal? You know, I have quoted this years ago and Allah puts a thought in my mind. It was an article I read on a masjid board. It must have been a good 10 years, a decade ago. So the dad returns from work and the boy comes and he says, Dad, can I have a word with you? And he says, yeah, okay, go for it. What's it, my son? What's it, my lad? He says, how much do you earn an hour? It's like, you know, back off. What do you understand? I'm busy. Like someone said, you walk in the house today, the average home has become a hotel. Everybody checks in at his own time and checks out at his own time. What time your brother comes, he's got his own times. He's got his own schedule. We don't really have breakfast together. Last we met was Sunday. So then somebody walks in and he says, where's my iPhone? And then the daughter says, where's my iPod? And the wife says, where's my iPad? And as the father, you, he says, I paid. I paid. Fortunate is that father whose children run into his arms even when his hands are empty. He's a rich man. He's a rich man. Salute him. Salute him. He's a rich man. His children run into him with no monetary game. Dad, I love you and I've just come to hug you. You're the wealthiest man by Allah, even if you're living in a hut. The hadith of Ibn Majah makes me cry every day. My Nabi didn't define the excellency of a house on its furniture or its architecture. خير بيت المسلمين بيت فيه يتيم يحسن إليه. The noblest abode in the eyes of Allah is that abode, is that location, is that home, whether a hut or a palatial palace, in which often and often comes, he eats and he is entertained and he is given comfort and good reception. That is the best house in the eyes of Allah. There are many a palatial homes that have never been privileged with any visitor, leave alone an orphan, for the entire duration of that house. كل دار وإن طالت سلامتها. Often you are invited to speak at a house where some tragedy has gripped the house, and you see it's this massive place and it's this palatial and it's this splash and everything of the best, and these couplets stare at me because obviously they are in a mourning process. كل دار وإن طالت سلامتها يوما ستدركها النكباء والحوب. Every home, regardless of how prolonged its prosperity is, sadness and mourning will inevitably grip it one day. Every home, regardless of how prolonged, it's a hub of activity, it's an atmosphere. She's a lawyer, he's a qualified doctor, the father is an entrepreneur, the son is a third year math. Wow, this is a hub of activity. Everything buzzes in this house. But the day has to come where sadness will even infiltrate this house. That's the rhythm of life. That's the nature of life. So what does Imam Shafi say? فَحِمْلَانُكَ الْحُمُومَ جُنُونُ فَدْرَ إِلْهَمَّ عَنِ النَّفْسِ إِنَّ رَبًّا كَفَاكَ بِالْأَمْسِ مَا كَانَ سَيَكْفِيكَ فِي غَدٍ مَا يَكُونُ. That Allah that has been doing up to this day has not become inactive that you have to make alternate arrangements. The Allah that has been doing up to this day has not become inactive. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. At every moment, Allah executes His decisions in the entire creation. So the first decision that defines a good life is a happy life, a meaningful life, a blissful life, is a life in which there is contentment. But the second thing, and that's the focus of my talk, and I honestly believe it is of paramount importance given the crisis that the Ummah is experiencing. The second quality that defines a good life is not that everything is hunky-dory for this person, everything is smooth sailing, but rather Allah favors him with the ability to make peace with the difficulty that Allah has afflicted on him. Allah gives him the vision, the maturity, the foresight, the endurance, that he's on top of it. He understands it's a kind Allah, it's a loving Allah. He can only do for me what is good for me. And he makes peace with that situation and he draws closer to Allah as he crawls in this adversity of his, as he inches forward in these challenges around him. And I share with you in this regard Sahaba's beautiful examples. You will be amazed, startled and perplexed to discover that the noble companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were consoled, counseled and comforted in one session with one word. There was no multiple counseling sessions. Go back, come back. Yeah, I'm getting slowly. No. They were humans, they were mortals. They lived the transitory life in which we live. They shed the emotions we shed, but they never stagnated. They moved on constantly. Just move on. Move on, and Allah alone knows what comes ahead. The Prophet ﷺ said a time will come that a person will be challenged with a particular fitna. He said, هَذِهِ مُهْلَكَتِي. This will destroy me. This will consume me. I think this is the biggest. And then over a gradual period of time, he'll evolve, he'll mature, he'll come out of it. Just to think he's matured, and then here comes another curveball his way till he meets his Allah. So what is the hadith? The hadith is in Hayatul Sahaba. There was an epidemic of fever that broke out in Medina. And fever could be quite challenging. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it expiates your sins. A sahabi came and seen Nabi alayhi salam and he said, إِنَّكَ تُوعَكُ وَعْكًا شَدِيدًا. Oh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looks like you have severe fever. He said, إِنِّي أُوعَكُ كَمَا يُوعَكُ رَجُلَانِ مِنْكُمْ. I have the fever that two of you have. The sahabi was smart, he was witty, he was diplomatic. He said, yes, indeed, double fever, but double reward. Double fever. Walaka ajran. One of you, am I right that you have double? He said, ajal, ajal, you are right. I do have double fever and double reward. So the Sahaba came, the Ansar, they said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are having this condition of fever, please make dua to us. And honestly, this was the fortune of Sahaba, you know, that they could come and they could nurse their wounds, they could comfort their pain, they could get solace for their agony, whatever. You know, sometimes you have a long day, and may Allah reward my parents, I just come by them, talk to them, and I say to the youth of today, parents are such a ni'mat. Often you are at the crossroads, you don't know how to navigate, and you say, Papa, you make the decision, Ma, you make it, and then I know it's easy, it's off my shoulders. I don't have the foresight and the vision to navigate. You take it, and you know Allah will inspire their vision. Sahaba were those fortunate individuals that at the end of the day, they used to come and rest their agony, and they used to comfort their pain, and they used to bring solace to their wounds, and they used to nurse their pain in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about that woman who lost her husband, and someone said, how are you doing? She said, where's Nabi alayhi salam? Then as she advances, someone said, you lost your brother in the battle. She said, yeah, okay, but tell me, where's Nabi alayhi salam? And then she advances forward and someone said, you've lost a son of yours. She said, yeah, okay, may Allah give me strength. Where's Nabi alayhi salam? And finally, when she seen the Nabi of Allah, this is the words. Kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalun ay khafifun ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Habib, I swear by Allah, my sorrow is swallowed instantly when my eyes meet with your blessed face. Today, unfortunately, the Ummah is resorting to haram to swallow his grief. So some of us are popping pills, others are drinking, others are intoxicating, others are in clubs. Has this ever been the way we swallow our grief? Remember, grief and sorrow was from the beginning of time. The sadness of our grief is that it stems from material problems. But grief and sorrow was not alien and foreign to Nabi alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm watching your heart and I can see it's full of sorrow, grief and pain. So that also happened to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can there be a better prescription and formula to undo the depression of any person other than the divine formula that Allah confers to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَأَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. You got to persist on the same method. As you've been making dua thus far, continue to make dua and remain prostrated until death comes to you, until death overpowers you. So Nabi alayhi salam makes dua for this group of sahaba that had come, they had fever. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes a dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures them. As they leave, another woman comes from the rear. She said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni lamin al ansar. I'm also from amongst the Ansar. I'm also a resident of Medina. And I also have this epidemic of fever. As you've been kind enough to spare them with a prayer, please favor me with a divine prayer, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now reflect over these words, and this will feature in the hadith that I will share with you there onwards. The gaze of a believer was akhirah. Unfortunately, akhirah has become far-fetched. I wish the day comes, may Allah make it a reality in my life first, that when my son is strolling through the aisle, or my wife is strolling through the aisle, and she's intrigued by something, and she wants to buy something, or he wants to buy, sometimes we appease the child who is throwing a tantrum by saying, leave it, I got at home, I will buy for you, I got in my bag, I got this here. But a believer is that one who appeases his son, leave this my son, Allah has kept this for us in Jannat. When will that day come? I read in Ma'riful Quran myself, when Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was going through this big ordeal of his, and we have to look at the lives of Anbiya and take solace and see their challenges and our challenges are nothing compared, but we got to just imagine what they went through. So we know it was an extended period, his son was separated from him, he lost his vision, it's a long story. The narration of Hassan Basri in the footnotes of Jalalain, one opinion 40 years, one opinion 80 years of separation. 80 years. وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. Kadim in Arabic means where you contain your grief to optimum level. You don't vent it, you don't throw it out, you hold it inside. So outwardly the man looks composed, but perhaps if he speaks there's a crack in his voice. If he speaks there's a tear in his eye, because inside he is really biting and eating from within. So anyway, when Yehuda, the eldest brother, he brought the shirt, or rather the qamis, because we don't want anyone to equate shirt with shirt, but the garment and the dress of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and he came and he placed it on the blessed face of Yaqub alayhi salam, and Allah restored his vision and his gaze. At that time he was elated, he was overwhelmed, and the teachings of Islam is, dating back from the very era of the Anbiya alayhi salam, that if anybody gives you good news, then acknowledge them, reward them. In Mariful Quran, I read this narration myself. Yaqub alayhi salam was overwhelmed. He said, "Oh my Allah, you've restored my gaze. My son, may Allah reward you. You've brought such good news to me. You've brought the garb of my son. And this is good news. And he said it earlier, if you don't consider me senile, and if you don't consider me old and aged, then indeed I get the fragrance of Yusuf." But then he said to his son, "Oh my beloved son, it is the teachings of Islam that we acknowledge and reward, and we reciprocate the kindness of anybody that conveys good news. But this is the house of Nabuwat. Poverty is the order of the day. Your dad hasn't eaten, neither have your siblings eaten." But to replace the vacuum of something tangible and something material, "I'm going to make a dua for you. I'm going to make a dua for you." He said, "My dad, I'm listening. You're a father and you're a Nabi. Your dua is accepted. My dua is," reading Ma'riful Quran in the fifth volume, "may Allah make it easy for you at the time of death, and may He ease in the agony and the pangs of death for you." I know of a sister who gave someone a kafan. Someone got offended. "What are you trying to say? I'll kick the bucket." "No, no, my sister. That's a harsh reality. The pious used to give kafans as gifts. They used to give kafans as a gift. Here's it, this is a kafan, I'm giving it to you as a gift." Nabi alayhi salam said to this woman, reflect, "Ayyuhuma kana ahabbu ilayk." "Oh sister, I can make dua as I made dua for them, and Allah will cure you as Allah cured them. But if you want, I have a different proposal." She said, "What is it, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You persevere, and I promise that Allah will grant you Jannah on this perseverance." Now reflect over this year. I have never heard of any counselor in the annals of history who can impress upon his victim so instantly and confidently the ability to make peace with his situation. The ability to grip onto his situation and understand this is something that Allah has decided for me, and this is in my share, and this has fallen in my lap. This woman, when she heard this, she was not like, "O Nabi of Allah, did you say it to those Sahaba or only to me?" "Oh, okay, only to me. All right, no problem. Allah knows best." No, no. She said, "Bal asbir, bal asbir, bal asbir. Wallahi la aj'alu lil jannati khataran ay badala." O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are dangling the candy of paradise before me, if I may adopt that phrase and coin that word, if you are putting paradise before me as the reward, I will persevere, I will endure, I will exercise sabr. I will never in any sense of minds ever replace Jannat for anything. I will live with the sickness and die with the sickness. You'll never ever have me requesting you to make dua for cure again. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes to visit Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu. He was sick, he was ill. Nabi alayhi salam went to pay him a visit. Nabi alayhi salam comforted him and consoled him, and he said, "Laysa alaykum min maradika hadha ba'asun. Zayd, you will be fine, you'll recover soon. Walakin kayfa bika idha umirta ba'di fa'umit." But I need to tell you something. If you look in the world today, many people are victims of certain circumstances which might rightly or wrongly justify their prolonged depression. But on the other hand, we have another segment in the world that are not victims, but by medical definition, they fall in the ambit of potential victims. So you're living in a home where there's a rich history in your genes and your ancestry of diabetes, or of Alzheimer's, or of this medical condition. So medically you are prone to this condition, and many of the challenges are so daunting that there's no preventative measures to reduce the risk. So can you imagine, this person is monitoring constantly, because my late grandfather, mother, whatever passed away with this year, I present with a stronger risk, right? Now look at this condition. Nabi alayhi salam didn't tell him of a risk Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Zaid, you'll recover quick from this and you'll be up on your feet. But when I pass away, Allah is going to test you and inflict you with something much more severe than this. And I'm more worried how you'll deal with that condition than this sickness. O Nabi of Allah, what's the inference and the reference? Zaid, today your eyes are bright and they're shining and they are strong. But after my death, this gaze of yours will dwindle and weaken, and Allah Pak will one day take your entire vision away. وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا عُمِّرْتَ بَعْدِي فَعُمِيتْ. You know, when you say Allah molded Sahaba on every level, my brother, that statement is in every way correct. What will come your way, O Zaid, when Allah will take your vision? Allah will test you. Allah will seize your vision. These are the words of the hadith, and read the narration yourself. إِذَنْ أَصْبِرْ وَأَحْتَسِبْ. O my Nabi of Allah, nothing to worry. Jazakallah for informing me. I will start preparing myself for sabr from now. And I will hope for reward. Nabi alayhi salam said, then two things. إِذَنْ تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابْ إِذَنْ تَلْقَى اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ ذَنْبٌ. Then you will enter Jannah without reckoning. And number two, you will meet Allah sinless without any sin. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Madarijus Salikin, that's where I read the narration. He was amongst those people whose du'as were accepted. In one kitab, Ibn Rajab Hanbali's Fi Sharhi Khamsina Hadithan, I read this quotation there, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, Atib mat'amak takun mustajab ad-da'wa. Be sure to eat that is what is pure and halal, completely halal. Eat that and your du'as will be accepted. I often say, Sahaba had such iman that Nabi alayhi salam passed by a building that was being developed and built. Ra'a qubbatan mushrifatan. They were raising the building, they were developing it. He asked and he said, whose building is this? Who's constructing this? Whose construction is in progress here? But the tone of his asking was apparent that there were sentiments of dislike and unhappiness to going so big and lavish and loud. So they mentioned to him, O Nabi of Allah, this is so and so's. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, okay, that's fine. Sometime later he passed by, he found that it was leveled to the ground. It was raised to the ground, R-A-Z-E. It was completely leveled to the ground. Nabi alayhi salam said, what is the matter? He said, O Nabi of Allah, we bounced your symptoms of disapproval over the owner. And he said, how can I go beyond and continue this when at the inception I don't have the blessings of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? At the very inception I don't have. Today people are challenging. I had had requests of people asking me questions like, is it correct to make a dua? Allah, I'm going into this venture. Not if it is good, let it materialize. Allah, let it materialize, and even if it's bad, make it good. So a sahabi could drop and halt a construction in progress. And today, my brother, if there's a chocolate in your hand or if there's a candy in your hand, and I say to you, hang on, one of the ingredients are doubtful, I don't think you can consume. He says, okay, inshallah, next time I won't buy it. My iman doesn't allow me to drop a doubtful candy. And the iman of Sahaba, comfortably sailing, could drop a building that was going up. So his heart brought happiness in his home, and my palace is bringing misery. What they say, this man booked into a hotel, frantically he phones the reception desk. He says, listen, my wife and I had an altercation and she wants to jump out of the window. Can you please send management and can you please send someone to my room? Hang on, sir, this is a personal, private matter. It's got nothing to do with us. He says, no, the window doesn't want to open. It's a maintenance problem. It's laughable, but that's the reality. In a holiday resort, somewhere in a beautiful place, in some exotic island, within the confines of that bedroom, the most ugly of fights are happening. Yes, this is it. So that sahabi dropped it. Now whatever he's going to build will be the blessings and Allah's blessings, and Nabi alayhi salam's du'as and happiness are there with him. So anyway, Madarijus Salikun, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he was one whose prayers were accepted. Allah Ta'ala tested him, he lost his eyesight. He came to Makkah. People said, hey, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is here, the man whose du'as are accepted. Ja'ahu an-nasu yuhra'una ilayhi. People were coming in droves, multitudes, scores. يدعو لهذا ويدعو لهذا. He makes dua for this man, instantly Allah gives him barakat. Makes dua for this man, Allah instantly cures him. Whatever the problem is. Abdullah ibn Sa'ib radiallahu anhu said, I looked at this man, I said, this is a bit peculiar. MashaAllah, he prays, he supplicates, he implores, instantly Allah answers. The man himself is afflicted, visually impaired. Why won't he spare a prayer for himself and resolve his own issues first? So I came to him. He was blind, obviously. فَتَعَرَّفْتُ عَلَيْهِ I introduced myself to him. He recognized my voice. He said, أَنْتَ قَارِئُ أَهْلِ مَكَّةِ Aren't you the prominent reciter of Makkah? I said, yes, indeed. I said to him, uncle, if I'm not asking you a personal question, and I'm not getting under your skin, and I'm not really invading your privacy, can I ask you something? Go for it, my young boy. He said, تَدْعُوا لِهَذَا وَتَدْعُوا لِهَذَا لِمَاذَا لَا تَدْعُوا لِنَفْسِكَ فَرَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ بَصَرَكَ MashaAllah, you're so generous in your prayers. And whoever you ask, Allah gives it, whatever you ask. Spare a prayer and make dua to Allah, Allah will restore your gaze. This statement that he said, my brother, it will take a lifelong, we won't have the ability to digest it, leave alone, display it. He said, Ya Bunayya, قَضَاءُ اللَّهِ أَحْسَنُ عِنْدِي مِنْ رَدِّ بَصَرِي My good boy, Jazakallah for your kind words, but it gives me a greater thrill to be happy on what my Allah has decided for me than to ask for cure also. If this is what my Allah wants for me, and this is what He's put in my lap, and He knows what is good for me, then satisfaction on His decree excites me more, thrills me more, fascinates me more. I'm having an ecstasy in this year. The narration of Targhib, وَلَا أَحَدُهُمْ كَانَ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِالْبَلَاءِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِالْعَطَاءِ Nabi alayhi salam said, the pious got more excited, more thrilled. They were more gripped by happiness and jubilation, and they were exhilarating over adversities than you can possibly rejoice over prosperity. So here's the hadith of Muslim Sharif. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu said, I'm going to spend the day with Nabi alayhi salam. Again, when I read this, it just gets my hair standing. Like, okay, mom, I'll see you later. I'm going to Nabi alayhi salam. I'm like, okay, we're going. Where are you going? We're playing pool. We're playing golf. We're playing this. We're playing that. I'll see you later. We don't know. Some of these panchayat columns tell you that golf was a pretext. Right? I'm going to Nabi alayhi salam. I'm going to sit there, right? I'm coming late. I'm going. I'm there. I'll be with him. لَأَكُونَنَّ بَوَّابَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ I will man the door today. جَرِيدُ النَّخْلِ There were this little like date palms around. بئر أريس I went in Medina to see this well and reflect over this hadith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dangles his blessed feet into the well. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari says, I will man the door. He mans the door. Just then there's a knock on the door. Who's at the door? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They were there all the time. They were there at every moment. Nabi alayhi salatu, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari says, let me ask Nabi alayhi salam permission. This is the beauty of Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with Nabi alayhi salam and he will be with Nabi alayhi salam in Jannah. But there are certain principles of Islam. He didn't come barging through. No. Move. It's Abu Bakr. Abu Musa, you don't know me. Move. No. There was respect. There was dignity. There was protocol. Measures were in place. Everybody was respected for his position. Some of us think our VIP will give us VIP in the court of Allah also. VIP in the court of Allah is a different game altogether. When Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi was coming, and at that time Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik was there, and then people are trying to clear the way at the haram, and they say, move for him, but there wasn't much movement. And suddenly when they seen Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi from the lineage and the ancestry of, from the descendants of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, and this sight caught everyone. Everyone was just riveted, and people were moved by his awe, and everybody started clearing the way, and he started advancing gradually and gradually. So Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who was the king, who was the ruler, he wanted to play himself up. Someone said, Man hadha ar-rajul alladhi akramahu an-nas hadha al-ikram? Who's this gentleman that has just stolen the show? And he has sidestepped the king completely. So the king said, Ana la a'rifuhu. Who knows him? Farazdaq, the great poet, was there. He said, In kunta la ta'rifuhu, فَالْعَرَبُ وَالْعَجَمُ يَعْرِفُهُ. What difference does it make if you don't know him? The angels and the malaika know him. And then he said, هذا الذي تعرف البطحاء وضحته والبيت يعرفه والحل والحرم. هذا ابن خير عباد الله كلهم. هذا التقي النقي الطاهر العلم. إن كنت جاهله بجده أنبياء الله قد ختموا. فليس قولك من هذا بظائره. العرب تعرف من أنكرت والعجم. كلتا يديه غياث عم نفعهما يستوكفان ولا يعروهما عدم. سهل الخليقة لا تخشى بوادره يزينه إثنان حسن الخلق والشيم. The poetry goes on very long. In essence he says, if you say فليس قولك من هذا, that's like also, you know what, it's like trying to get your own footing in place. من هذا, who's this brother, I don't know him. فليس قولك من هذا بظائره. You haven't dropped his status in any way, if any, you've positively contributed, it's alarmed people even more. العرب تعرف من أنكرت والعجم. The Arabs and the non-Arabs, the Anbiya and the Malaika know him. You decide now who he is and who you are. So some of us think we are VIP in the house of Allah. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the VIP is completely different. Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahmatullah alayhi's incident is very famous. Also his son Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, he had taken his two sons. وَهُمَا غُلَامَانِ كَطَلْعِ الْبَدْرِ كَطَلْعِ الْبَدْرِ. Beautiful, young, attractive, handsome lads. The father takes the sons, and this is necessary at a young age to take them to Paya so that they identify. So anyway, they come to the Haram Sharif, and the father says, we're going to meet a prominent scholar today. After everything is over, they move forward. هَمَّ رِجَالُ الْحَاشِيَةِ بِأَنْ يَتْبَعُوهُ. Trying to come and create some opening for niche for the king to go forward. Anyway, as they come close, the imam is surrounded by a large ocean of people. So sit down, the two boys are like excited. And children will ask it as it is. Children are straight. The boy hops onto the bus, and this woman was little obese. So she says, Mom, isn't I mustn't ask you about this fat lady in the bus, only I can ask you at home. Right? So, you know, one day I was listening to a program on radio, they were talking about how children can embarrass you. And, you know, embarrass you naively, innocently, by the things we indoctrinate them with. The things we tell them, and those are the type of things that happen. So anyway, when the prayer is over, then أَقْبَلَ سُلَيْمَانُ عَلَى الْإِمَامِ. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik goes forward. The children are like tiptoeing, who's this man? فَإِذَا هُوَ شَيْخٌ حَبَشِيٌّ أَسْوَدُ الْبَشَرَةِ مُفَلْفَلُ الشَّعْرِ إِذَا جَلَسْ بَدَاكَ الْغُرَابِ الْأَسْوَدِ. When they look, it's this dark-skinned person, lacking physical beauty, curled hair, and everybody greeting. So the children say, Dad, who's this? He say, this is the great Mufti of Masjid al-Haram, وَوَارِثُ عَبْدِلَّهِ ibn Abbas. And he is the official successor of Abdullah ibn Abbas. لا يفتي في الحرم إلا عطا. None has the authority to pronounce an Islamic verdict in the boundaries of the Haram but Ata ibn Abi Rabah. So from the worldly perspective, he had nothing to be a VIP, but Allah had given him on the grounds of knowledge. So that is a separate thing altogether. Anyway, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari mans the door. Who knocks? It's Abu Bakr. Comes to Nabi Sassam, said, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Tell him to come inside and Jannat is his. He goes there, he said, Abu Bakr, come inside. Allah's Nabi said, Jannat is yours. He comes in. MashaAllah, he sits down. Just then, Umar radiallahu, there's a knock on the door. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari goes again. Who's it? He says, it's Umar. Comes back to Nabi alayhi salam. O Nabi of Allah, there is Umar at the door. Respect. Nabi alayhi salam said, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Tell him to come inside and tell him Jannat is his also. Jannat is his also. Not only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, even for Umar radiallahu anhu. Just then there's a knock on the door again. Remember, we're on track. What's the definition of a good life? Contentment. Number two, it doesn't mean you'll have a hiccup-free life. It means Allah will give you the ability to make peace with what He has decided for you. Allah will give you the ability to make peace and you'll move and live your life. Sahaba went through great challenges. By Allah, they went through. Listen to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. So there's a knock on the door. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَى بَلْوَى تُسِيبُهُ. Tell Sayyidina Uthman to come inside and tell him paradise is also his. But tell him quietly also, Allah will inflict a host of difficulties upon him before he passes away. When Sayyidina Uthman came in, he didn't come and nudge Abu Bakr and Umar. What was told to you? Oh. No, no. These were the words, and I will cry and I will die crying. When my Nabi told him, Jannat is yours and Allah will test you, he said, Allahumma sabran. Allah, your Nabi has prophesied that you will test me. I know not the gravity of the test. I know not the dynamics of the test. I know not the duration of the test. I know not the precise timing of the test. But when you have ordained this, and this will come my way, inspire me to live up and display the desired amount of sabr. Allahumma sabran. The narration of Musnad Ahmad. Nabi alayhi salam is in his fatal illness. He tells Aisha radiallahu anha, ud'u li ba'd ashabi. Go call some of my companions and come. Aisha radiallahu anha said, are you referring to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Nabi alayhi salam said, no. She said, Umar. Nabi alayhi salam said, no. She said, Ibn Ammika Ali. Is it Ali radiallahu anhu? Nabi alayhi salam said, no. She said, Uthman. Nabi alayhi salam said, spot on. Sayyidina Uthman was ushered in. Nabi alayhi salam said, Tanahi. Aisha, you want to excuse yourself, please? Myself and Uthman need to talk privately. Aisha radiallahu anhu said, I excuse myself. I went to the side. Sayyidina Uthman was ushered inside. Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuhaddith wa lawnu Uthman yataghayyar. And Nabi alayhi salam started spelling out the graphic details and started spelling it out to him. Uthman, I'm moving on, but there are going to be great boulders and challenges in your life. She says he was calm, he was composed, as a human tear swelled in his eyes and his complexion started turning. That was it. The Nabi of Allah passed on. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, time moved on. When this critical, sad, daunting moment came in the annals of our history, where Sayyidina Uthman was in the latter part of his blessed life and the rebels had surrounded his house, then many sahaba intervened and they said, make a gesture, we'll mobilize and we'll engage these people. Ala tuqatilhum. Oh Uthman, why don't you stand up and fight these people? He said, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahida ilayya ahdan wa inni sabirun. Listen, my Nabi had spelled this out to me and this was going to come my way. And I had committed to him, I will not disappoint you. I will live up to what I have to do. I'm on track with what I said to my Nabi. I will not rebel or revolt. It gets even more daunting. Na'ila radiallahu anha, his wife. He's fasting. He's hungry. He's thirsty. So he asked the rebels. First he intervened through the agency of all his accolades that were conferred upon him. All his services for deen. He had extended the masjid, he had equipped the army of Tabuk, he was wedded to two daughters of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had purchased Bi'r al-Aris, and the list continues. He said, folks, hang on. Today sometimes a father has to tear and say, my son, today you're talking to me like this. Do you know you couldn't talk and I was restless because of the fact you couldn't talk? You were sick and I was pacing the clinics at night. And today arrogantly you throw these harsh balls to me. Do you know what you're talking? فَأَوْلَيْتَنِي حَقَّ الْجِوَارِ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ عَلَيَّ بِمَالٍ دُونَ مَالِكَ تَبْخَلُوا. In that long poem where the sahabi told his son, my son, if you can't treat me like a father, afford me the dignity of a neighbor. Afford me the dignity of a neighbor. Okay, I'm reducing it now, my young boy. If you can't treat your father like a father, don't deny him the courtesy of a human. Don't deny him the courtesy of a human. Give him the respect of a human. Be it as it may, Sayyidina Uthman intervenes to them. He says, I am thirsty. Can I please have some water? You will not have a sip of water. But hang on, folks, I bought this water for you people. Have you forgotten the day when my Nabi said, whoever buys the well of Aris and makes it charity? And it was me who mastered it. First I bought half and then I bought the entire with a very handsome amount, a very large amount. They said, you will not drink anything, you will not have a sip of water. That night he goes to sleep. Na'ila radiallahu anha, his wife. In the night he gets up. Again, this was the fortune of Sahaba. And I often cry at bed and I say, my Allah, Sahaba slept after a heavy day. They had their Nabi to comfort them. And when the Nabi passed on, he appeared in their dreams to comfort them. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them that solace, gave them that comfort. In the morning he got up, as thirsty as he was, as hungry as he was. But he was all blooming and blossoming. His wife said, what's the matter? He said, Ja'ani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min hadha saqfi. I read the narration. My Nabi appeared to me in the night from this roof of mine. وَمَعَهُ دَلْوٌ مِمَّا. He didn't come with a glass of water. He didn't come with a vessel of water. He said, Uthman, I've brought a bucket for you, my beloveds. Uthman, I brought a bucket for you. Ishrab, drink, Uthman. I don't know if the water was sweet or it was sweetened by the hands of my Nabi. I guess it was a bit of both. Ishrab, ishrab. By Allah, the problems we have, this ummah has to take solace and get strength from crying to Allah and by this divine inspirations, and we walk our way forward till ultimately we find and we meet our Creator on the day of Qiyamah. That's the only way the ummah is taking enormous strain. The ummah is taking enormous stress. It is gone to a level that only Allah knows. And heaven alone knows what comes our way beyond. The only comfort is that the time that is coming is going to be more daunting in which we live in. So that's the only solace. That's the only solace. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, معروف زماننا منكر زمان قد مضى ومنكره معروف زمان لم يأتي. That what we consider as noble today was considered a vice before, and that what we consider a vice today will be considered virtuous in the years to come. معروف زماننا منكر زمان قد مضى يقول الزمان به فساد وهم فسدوا وما فسد الزمان. يقول الزمان به فساد وهم فسدوا وما فسد الزمان. My Nabi gave me this. Oh my word, Uthman, Uthman, we are green with envy. May my parents be sacrificed. Sayyidina Umar said, I am ready to exchange my whole life for the one night that Abu Bakr was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the night of Hijrat. Umar Sallallahu said, I'll put my whole night on one side. My whole life, give me that night of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Uthman, we will give you every drink we've ever drunk in our life. Every beverage we've consumed for the honor in your dream with my Nabi in his blessed hand giving you. Ishrab ya Uthman. So the rebels have surrounded the house. The Nabi of Allah had told him in advance, this is coming your way. Ishrab, drink Uthman. Fasharibtu, I drank. He said, Izdad Uthman, I'm in no hurry. Take your time and drink. Take your time and drink. You know, mother is giving her child with passion and bond, and there's this bonding happening. Imagine if this ummah was comforting their wounds with Allah's Nabi in a dream. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhu, when Umar passed away, I cried for 1 year. I said, Allah, I loved him so much, Allah. Don't deny me seeing Umar in a dream. I want to see him. And I need that bond with Sayyidina Umar. He said, I seen him in a dream. The narration of Hayatu Sahaba, Babu Ru'yat Sahaba, Fil Manam. Read that whole chapter there. He said, then I seen Sayyidina Umar in a dream. I was elated. I said, Umar, how are you doing? He said, Laqitu Rabban Ra'ufa. Laqitu Rabban Ra'ufa. Oh, Ibn Abbas, all is good. It's such a loving and a kind Allah. تعاظمني ذنبي. The poet said, oh my Allah, my sins are great. لما قرنته بعفوك كان عفوك أعظم. I know my sins are daunting, but then when I turn the page and I look at your mercy, I see your mercy, that page is much more full than my sins. فلما قرنته بعفوك كان عفوك أعظم. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salam said, drink, I drank until I was satiated. Then he said to me, Uthman, are you now, your thirst is quenched? I said, all is done, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, listen, in terms of the battle, in terms of the rebels, in terms of strategy, you have two things. إِنَّ الْقَوْمَ سَيَكْثِرُونَ عَلَيْكَ. When you get up this morning, the rebels will intensify their plot upon you even more aggressively. فَإِنْ قَاتَلْتَهُمْ زَفِرْتَ وَإِنْ صَبَرْتَ أَفْتَرْتَ عِنْدَنَا. Uthman, if you want to engage, it's your choice. You go for the kill, you're the winner from the beginning. But if you persevere, we wait in, we'll have iftar together in Jannat. If you persevere, we are waiting, we will have iftar in Jannat together. I read the narration in Kanzul Ummal myself. Nabi alayhi salam said, I was sitting in Jannah, one fruit of Jannah was given to me. And then it was a apple. فَانْفَلَتَتِ التُّفَاحَةُ نِصْفَيْنِ. The apple split in two. خَرَجَتْ مِنْهَا جَارِيَةٌ. This beautiful damsel emerged from this fruit. I've never seen a woman with more striking beauty and more excellency than this woman. I said, لِمَنْ أَنْتِ. Sister, for who are you? She said, I am لِلْخَلِيفَةِ الْمَظْلُومِ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ عَفَّانَ. Allah has created me, designated me, exclusively reserved me for the oppressed third Khalifa of Islam. What did I say? He walked in. It was a good moment. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthman, this will come your day. If somebody, oh Nabi Allah, don't curse me. Don't curse me. Make a good dua for me. Why must you say difficulties will come my way? What's stopping you? Make a dua for me at least.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.